What's up, everybody? Welcome to the ProWrestling.net Lucha Underground audio review. My name is Will Pruitt, and I am here to review not one but two episodes of Lucha Underground for you. First, the June 22nd episode titled Fame and Fortune, the 22nd episode of Season 2, and of course, the go-home show for Ultima Lucha Dos, the 23rd episode of Season 2, which I will have the title of in just a second. The Phoenix, the Dragon, and the Spaceman is the title, and it's also the beginning of a really weird walked into a bar joke. So, first up, let's talk about last week's show. I apologize to the ProWrestling.net members who were expecting my audio review last week. I'll try and make it up by being extra insightful about the show this week as I kind of make up for some lost time. And for those of you on the All Access side, I just hope you enjoy it. Let's get into it. So, the 622 show, this was Prince Puma speaking in the temple for the very first time, and 7 Aztec medallions handed out in a night. I was kind of surprised they went back to the Gift of the Gods title match for Ultima Lucha Dos after they did it so soon. After, like, they did it in the middle of Season 2, they had the Gift of the Gods cashed in, they had the big thing, and they're just going right on back to it. It seems rushed, and I think when you look at who ends up being the participants in the Gift of the Gods title match here, it is a really weak match, and it's a weak idea after what they did so well mid-season with the 7 people in that match. And we'll get into who those people are as we get to the end of this episode. So, opening teaser, we have Dario Cueto talking about medallions. They show Cage cashing in the Gift of the Gods. Masquerita Sagrada losing a lot. Dragon Azteca's feud with Black Lotus for some reason. And the episode again, titled Fame and Fortune. We see Dario Cueto talking to a new luchador. This luchador is named Nightclaw. And I will say he has the absolute worst ring attire. Or backstage attire, whatever it is. It looks like he's wearing a paper mache cat mask that someone would have made for a 4th grade Halloween costume. He is talking in this weird, deep, distorted voice that Dario Cueto, in the office of Dario Cueto, that he could never talk with inside the temple. It was weak. Dario Cueto says this guy is from the same Aztec tribe as Prince Puma, and he is going to be in the Gift of the Gods title match. His signing bonus is one of these Aztec medallions. And a Claw, Night Claw, Mr. Claw, the Clawster. The Clawster is pretty funny. Is there. Like, he is going to win the title match, and they say that his tribe was brought down because of arrogance. This was not all that enjoyable. I guess he has been portrayed by the Mexican luchador Flamita. I know that because John Moore, in his coverage, noted that. I trust John Moore to pick up on the details that I don't get. By the way, as we get into Lucha Underground, the last episode, or Ultima Lucha Dos, the last episode of the season, John Moore will be joining me on the member side of things, and we are going to talk the entire season of Lucha Underground and kind of give it a letter grade, give it a review, that kind of thing. Yeah, so Flamita was, I guess, in the middle of a controversy, and then he ended up here in Lucha Underground. This is just strange. I'm already not into Nightclaw after one scene, to be honest with you. Vampiro and Matt Stryker check in on commentary. Voodoo Low Skulls are there with the big head thing, band style. And then we get our first match of the night. It is Daga versus Masquerita Sagrada with Famous B and Brenda for Aztec Medallion number 1. Daga actually wins a dang match. Surprisingly, he looks arrogant the whole time. Masquerita Sagrada gets like one hope pinfall, and Daga is taunted and distracted slightly by Cobra Moon in this one. Cobra Moon still infatuated with Daga here, and then we get Daga defeating Masquerita Sagrada with a flapjack and a crossface. In 2 minutes and 13 seconds, Aztec Medallion number 1 goes to Daga, and I can't believe that Daga is actually going to win the Gift of the Gods title match, because Daga doesn't win things. He just appeared in one segment and now is kind of there. After this, Famous B attacked Masquerita Sagrada. kind of made me sad. But I get it. And Famous B said he's going to get someone who's actually famous. The crowd really likes Famous B. They like the 4-2-3 get fame gimmick. But I can't say that I am enamored with what Famous B and Masquerita Sagrada have done thus far. It is definitely a comedy gimmick, and it's something that shows up every few weeks and then disappears. Then we get Dragon Azteca in the Dario Cueto office discussing the fact that he wants a match with Matanza, and that Matanza killed his mentor. Dario Cueto said, "Matanza didn't kill your mentor, dum-dum," and said that his brother is not a killer. I disagree. His brother killed B-Boy. His name be praised. But then Dragon Azteca Jr. discussed his match with Black Lotus. Dario said that in her eyes, he will see his mentor's true killer. Dario Cueto said, "Wait until Ultima Luchadosa to get revenge in front of the world, just like Dragon Azteca would have wanted." Weird. This whole story, I mean, we're going to get Black Lotus's first match in the temple on Ultima Lucha, at Ultima Lucha, which is cool. At the same time, I don't know that Black Lotus is going to be that good. I don't know that Black Lotus is going to be super enjoyable to watch in this match. Oh, I hope it's good. But Dragon Azteca has impressed, as we'll get to later in the show when we talk about last night's episode. But I can't say that Dragon Azteca is truly, truly great at this moment. This was a good backstage segment, but the feud's going to be really, really strange. Then we got Joey Ryan and the crew. Speaking of people who only show up every, like, two or three episodes, Joey Ryan and the crew, they're just back together, even though they arrested Mr. Cisco randomly. But Joey Ryan and Cortez Castro, the cops, and Mr. Cisco are there, tagging together now. Weird. And then Sinestro de la Muerte, Killshot, and Marty the Moth all showed up. And the winner of this trios match, the winning team, gets 3 Aztec medallions. This is strange. It's like all the teams have some drop storylines between them. Sinestro de la Muerte killed 2 dudes, if you remember that happening. But this was a fun trios match that I just couldn't get into because of the participants. None of these people really matter. In the end, Marty hit a curb stomp on Mr. Cisco looked ready to make a major, major comeback for the crew team. But Marty the Moth ended up being able to distract him. Killshot and Marty the Moth both stepped on Mr. Cisco in various ways, and Killshot ended up pinning Cisco. He earns his team the medallions, and Marty the Moth re-steals Killshot's dog tags. He had given them back before the match, I guess. So Aztec medallions number 2, 3, and 4 go to Marty the Moth, Killshot, and Sinestro de la Muerte. So right now we have Nightclaw, who looks like a really bad Black Panther knockoff. We've got Daga, and Marty the Moth, Killshot, and Sinestro de la Muerte. Those are the 5 of the 7 participants in this Gift of the Gods title match. Can you tell why I don't care? Like, this is really bad. So, next up, we got a tag match here. And this tag match was Sexy Star and Mariposa versus Taya and Ivelisse. Now, I like the idea that Sexy Star and Mariposa were forced to team together. I would like it more if we had seen some of the two of them after they had their whole thing with each other. It seems like it's been way too long since I've seen Sexy Star and Mariposa. I think they lost their way with Sexy Star by not immediately capitalizing on that amazing match with Mariposa and that amazing emotional moment that they had at the end of it. They really should have found a way to move her on to something else, move her into a feud where they could take that emotional investment the crowd made in her that night and continue it. But I don't, they didn't do that, obviously. This was a tag match between the two, and it was fine. It was a little slow, especially for a Lucha Underground tag match. They did the sequence of dives on the outside that every Lucha Underground tag has to have. And that was fun and unique because it was the women doing it. The end of the match saw Taya accidentally spear Ivelisse, Mariposa then hitting Ivelisse with a Celtic cross, but Sexy Star was the legal woman, and Mariposa picks up Sexy Star, slams her down onto Ivelisse, and after about 10 minutes, Sexy Star and Mariposa have the last 2 Aztec medallions. Yikes. That is a major, major bummer. Not that the other women would have been better, but just looking at this, again, the seven luchadors in this match, Nightclaw, Black Panther, like, whatever he is, Nightclaw, Daga, Marty, the Moth, Killshot, Sinestro de la Muerte, Sexy Star, and Mariposa. That is not, like, I don't want to see any of them win that Gift of the Gods title. I think Sexy Star would be my pick here, but the thing with Sexy Star is they've waited so long since the big moment. I mean, really, the last time they did Gift of the Gods was the time to give her the Gift of the Gods title after that amazing, amazing match that they had. That's when the crowd, I think, was most invested in her. And one of the issues with pushing Sexy Star, she can't cut a promo in English. I mean, I really like what they've done with her. I like the act that they built around her, the idea of a domestic abuse survivor taking control of her own destiny. All of that, I think, is super cool. Problem, when Sexy Star steps into the ring, or, like, she can't cut the promo that Prince Puma did, even though, you know, there was debate on whether Prince Puma would ever get to cut a promo. She can't cut these promos that I think she would need to cut in order to be that next star, to the big star that Lucha Underground kind of needs. So yeah, next up, we did get Prince Puma talking. This was the classic Shawn Michaels, I gotta know if I can beat you thing, and I liked it. They've obviously been building tension between Puma and Rey Mysterio since they lost the Trios titles. This was real good, real quick, real simple. I've been waiting for a long time for this, having a mic in his hand, obviously. I want to say this. When Conan recruited me when I was training, he said I could be the next Rey Mysterio. Well, you know what? Rey Mysterio's here. I've wanted to know for my entire life if I could beat him. And I want a shot. At Ultima Lucha, I want to beat Rey Mysterio. Rey Mysterio comes up, comes out and says he was one of the pioneers that paved the way for Puma. Said this with all humbleness. He has respect for Puma, but Puma was still a prince, and he is El Rey, which translates to the king and is also the name of the network that Lucha Underground is on. Rey Mysterio said they had to find out if he's still the best, and he accepted, and that closed it. They then went and posed on corners. They are going to have this match at Ultima Lucha. I've got to say, as down on season two as I've been, this is the Ultima Lucha match I am so, so looking forward to. We get three weeks of Ultima Lucha. It's pretty dang exciting. I'm excited to see what they do here, and I hope it's good. I mean, it could really suck, but it might be very, very good as well. This was a fine show. The seven people, the participants in all of the matches on this show, not that great, not that impressive, not that exciting. But you get to Ultima Lucha, and it's okay, cool. They put seven people that they don't care as much about in this Gift of the Gods match. Obviously, none of them have to cash in that title shot for the Gift of the Gods title. They can lose it midway through season three or even towards the beginning. We've seen that happen multiple times at this point. So I don't see the big deal in having it be these seven people, other than that these seven people are not super exciting, and that's not exactly what you would like them to be. And so concludes my review of episode 22 of Lucha Underground season 2. While I am in this pause between shows, I want to let you guys know that ProWrestling.net members will listen to me review Ultima Lucha episodes 1 and 2, and then for the third one, John Moore and I will be breaking down the entire season of Lucha Underground. That should be a really, really good audio. We have some interesting thoughts on this season, as I'm sure you've heard in this audio, as I'm sure you've read in John Moore's reports on the site. And .NET members are going to get to hear those thoughts in full, hear us discuss them, challenge them, and just altogether discuss how we felt about this season in general, like how we think Lucha Underground did following such a really good first season. Also, .NET members are listening today to ProWrestling.net Weekly, where Jason Powell is running down first run news, a bunch of notes, stuff that you're not going to hear anywhere else. They get that, obviously, on a weekly basis, as well as ad-free access to ProWrestling.net. If you want to check that out and become a member, you can do so for as low as $5.50 a month if you take the annual option, or $7.50 a month if you just want to try it out for a month, see if it's for you, maybe get you through the Roman Reigns suspension or something like it. Guys, we really believe in what we do, and we hope that you'll sign up for membership and see that it's a good thing. On top of all of that, too, if you're listening to us from iTunes, give us a review, rate us, tell them you like us. It would really help us out in just getting the word out about our show as well. Follow at Pro Wrestling Net on Twitter and retweet the links when Jason puts out the show on a daily basis. That is also super, super helpful and awesome. You can also follow me on Twitter at It's Will Time. And now I will stop talking in your ear about wrestling websites and start talking in your ear about wrestling again. And let's move on to the June 29th episode of Lucha Underground. This is the last episode before Ultima Lucha Dos. This was a really good episode of Lucha Underground. It left me excited for the three Ultima Lucha Dos shows. And I can't say that I love the Ultima Lucha Dos card, but this was a really, really exciting show for what Lucha Underground did. This is a three-week event as opposed to a two-week event for Ultima Lucha Dos. Also interesting, they don't have the two-hour slot that they did last year, and I kind of like that to close out the season, so it bums me out that we didn't get it, but this is the last episode before the three Ultima Lucha Dos shows. All right. The main event, or first, the title of this show is The Phoenix, the Dragon, and the Spaceman. The main event of this show is, first time ever, Johnny Mundo versus Phoenix, and they tried to make this seem like a very, very big deal all throughout the episode. I liked that, actually. I thought that they did a good job in the previously on segments making it look like a big deal. They did a good job elsewhere on this show as well, making things feel big. So, we got what I think is going to be a big thing. We found out that the trio's champions, Johnny Mundo, PJ Black, and Jack Evans, along with Taya, are now called the Worldwide Underground. They have a team name, much like Team Havoc did back in the day. That is just worth noting. Then we got King Cuerno versus Mil Muertes right off the bat. Whoa. That's actually kind of insane that they just jump into King Cuerno versus Mil Muertes. And as we got to it, I saw why they did. First, we got a chair shot to the head. And yes, it was on it slid off the back of his head. I still don't like it. We got a ref bump after Cuerno dove out of the ring. Then we got a chair shot to the back of Mil Muertes' head. It wasn't as unsafe as taking it right on the cranium. I just don't like chair shots like that. Mil Muertes no-sold the chair shot, came back with a right arm. Basically, this was them. It looked like Muertes was gonna eradicate our friend King Cuerno with that chair, ended up getting sent into it in the corner himself, and Mil Muertes got pinned by King Cuerno, who had his hand and leg on the ropes. He was like half draped on the ropes. The ref didn't see it because he ran back into the ring to count the pin. So King Cuerno defeated Mil Muertes in 4:35. It was crazy. Cuerno got the heck out of there right after this. This was really, really interesting. I think we have, in fact, on this episode, we get told that we have another Mil Muertes versus King Cuerno match next week. I don't know that this match was necessary to set it up. I think it was a little unfortunate that they used this to set it up. Dario Cueto is sitting in his office after a commercial break with Taya and Ivelisse. Ivelisse accepts a double shot of liquor. Taya does not. I assume it's whiskey. No one's told me otherwise. Dario says Taya has proven herself in the temple by fighting everyone. He complimented Ivelisse for being a great trios champion. And then the two women bickered a little bit, and he said at Ultima Lucha, these two women were going to have a match to prove who the baddest woman or bitch in the temple is. Ivelisse and Taya are going to fight. Ivelisse and Taya get up to leave, and they pass Katrina on their way out. Ivelisse looks at Katrina and says she hasn't forgotten about her. That was a good continuity moment, because they did kind of drop the Ivelisse and Katrina situation this year, and I think there is way more that they can go back to there. Katrina demanded a rematch between Cuerno and Muertes. Dario said no, and he doesn't like Katrina. She tried to take over his temple. Solid logic there. But then Katrina convinced him, because Dario Cueto is, after all, a promoter, and said they want a death match. Dario Cueto was like, hell yeah, death match. Let's do that-ish. And then Katrina got out of there teleportation style. That was actually a good segment. That was a really good office segment. They got a lot done. And they inserted two matches into Ultima Lucha that I want to see with Cuerno and Mil Muertes in a death match and Taya and Ivelisse in their match. I think that will be very, very fun. At the temple, Prince Puma was then introduced. Yeah. Prince Puma and Dragon Azteca then had a match. This, of course, is a water... Dragon Azteca then came out looking like a watermelon. John Moore compares him to Barney the Dinosaur in his report on the show, and I can't say he's wrong. We got a really, really fun high-flying match between those two. It was a whole lot of flippy stuff, a whole lot of big moves, a whole lot of two counts and no sells and all that. It went 8 minutes and 44 seconds and had a ton of action. Prince Puma won with the 630. Great, great, great stuff. We had Rey Mysterio at ringside with El Dragon Azteca Jr., encouraging him and all that. I thought this was some really, really solid storytelling here, and I'm really glad they did it. Puma and Rey kind of had a little moment at the end. They jawed a little bit, it looks, and obviously they're going to have a match during Ultima Lucha Dos. I really wish I could see what is going to be on what night of Ultima Lucha. I would really like to know what the main event of each of the three episodes is going to be. Dario Cueto then is in the center of the ring, and he's joined by Willie Mack, Cage, Tejano, and Son of Havoc. I believe they could go by the Leftovers as a team name. Dario Cueto said he has big plans for these wrestlers, and they're going to have a unique opportunity tournament, and it's called For a Unique Opportunity, and it's going to be the best unique opportunity in all of the unique opportunities the Lucha Underground has ever offered. Okay, between that and the thrown together Gift of the Gods match, weird, super weird. And by the way, why not have these four dudes in the Gift of the Gods title match? Why not have these four be some of the people competing for that belt? I think anytime when you're telling a story that you can condense things and have it make sense, you do that. You don't have things go out of order. You don't have things not make sense. And I don't see them really condensing things and not making sense here and things making sense. Yeah, it's a weird tournament four-way thing. Matt Stryker went over the Ultima Lucha Dos card. Cool. It's all the stuff we already know about. It's going to be Cage versus Tejano versus Son of Havoc versus the Mac, King Cuerno versus Mil Muertes in a death match, Prince Puma versus Rey Mysterio in a dream match, Black Lotus against El Dragon Azteca Jr., Taya versus Ivelisse, Sexy Star versus Daga versus Sinestro de la Muerte versus Marty the Moth versus Mariposa versus Killshot versus Nightclaw in a match I don't care about, and Pentagon versus Matanza for the Lucha Underground Championship. Literally, this is the first we've heard about this in weeks. Like, the match was made, and they have done nothing about it. I hope, because I assume this will be in, Pentagon versus Matanza will be in week 3 of Ultima Lucha Dos. I hope that they do a segment in the next 2 weeks to build up to this match. They have done nothing with Pentagon Jr. versus Matanza. No interviews, no, just, oh yeah, and it's going to happen. The Matanza title reign is not important. It doesn't matter. It's a piece of garbage anyways, but they've ignored him as champion for most of it. They haven't even made it good. Sorry, it bugs me. And finally, Phoenix, Aerostar, and Drago versus the Worldwide Underground, Johnny Mundo, Jack Evans, and PJ Black for the Trios Championships. As far as stuff I'm excited about on that card, Puma versus Mysterio, and the Trios title match. I don't care about Pentagon versus Matanza, and I don't really care about the unique opportunity or the bad Gift of the Gods match or a lot of other stuff. So we got Phoenix versus Johnny Mundo in a fun match. It ended with, basically, Taya using a distraction to block the pinfall. Mundo hits Phoenix with his Trios title belt to earn a win. Johnny Mundo defeated Phoenix via pin in 7:48. This was good. It was fun. And then we got the Worldwide Underground coming out and beating up Phoenix and Jack, and Drago and Aerostar running to save their partner. Ivelisse Then ran out to beat up Taya, and we got the Worldwide Underground on the outside. Wow. We got Aerostar, Phoenix, Drago, and Ibeliz on the inside, and Ultima Lucha Dos starts next week, is what we were told. Really good trios title match. I like that we're going to get that. Everything but the actual title match at Ultima Lucha Dos sounds really fun. And I'll be back next week to cover the first week of Ultima Lucha Dos. I'm doing the next 2 weeks, and then in the third week, .NET members are going to have John Moore and I discussing Ultima Lucha Dos. It should be a very good show. We'll run through some thoughts on the entire season. We'll probably breeze through Ultima Lucha Dos, that last episode of it, and run through thoughts on the season, talk about standout performers. Last year, we did some superlatives at the end, and we'll probably do something similar this year. So I really hope y'all enjoy that, and I hope you'll end up listening to it as well. Thank you guys for listening, and have a fantastic day.